Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Progressive Vibe Podcast. I am your host, Dodrick. Today's date is November 14th, 2021. This is Season 5, Episode 10. And the title of this episode, The Current State of U.S. Politics. So in today's show, guys, I wanted to share with you all a special episode. I was fortunate enough to be invited on a pretty awesome podcast where we have a conversation about the current state of the Biden presidency and the Democratic Party and what it means going forward. It's always good to get other people's perspectives than your own. And even though we agreed on the current reality involving our politics, it's always great to gain a better understanding about the information at hand. So I want to personally thank the Alt Left Podcast for having me on to share my perspective, and can't wait to return the favor and have you guys on the Progressive Vibe Podcast in the near future. I do want to say their audio was spot on. Mom was not so much. It does sound like I am speaking through a walkie-talkie. So I do want to warn the listeners that, my audio wasn't too good. Unfortunately, it was some audio issues, but we made it work, and it was super insightful dialogue that we had, and I hope you guys learned a thing or two. I certainly did. And yeah, guys, so we're gonna play that after this intro, and again, I hope you do enjoy that. But before we get into today's special show, I wanted to do as I do every show and say thank you to the listeners of the program for liking, sharing, and donating to the show. However you show love to the show, it is greatly appreciated. As you know, sharing the Progressive Vibe Podcast on social media is the most effective way to get our message out, and it is all totally free of charge. The Progressive Vibe is also on all platforms. You can listen and get your podcast. Last but not least, if you have anything you want me to discuss on the podcast in the near future, you can follow me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Dodi_Vibe. That's Dodi_VIBE. If you want to stay in touch with the show, and that's to get every new episode delivered straight to your inbox, you can do this on the show's website. The show's website is theprogressivevibe 184-970-366.wordpress.com. Also, last but not least, if you want to help us make the show and sustain future episodes, again, none of this is possible without the listeners of the show. You can become a monthly supporter on the show's website. A few people recently asked me that where was the support button. Once you click on the link of the show, it should be right underneath the title of the show. It's a support button right underneath the show, and I think they have three tiers: a 99-cent one, a $4.99 one, and a $9.99 one. But again, no pressure whatsoever. Also, if you don't want to become a monthly supporter, the show has a Cash App. You can donate to the Cash App. It is DAHDE92. That's DAHDEE92. Yeah, guys, so we're about to get into today's show. I also want to say, again, shout out to the Alt Left Podcast. They have awesome commentary over there. And if you want to get in touch with them, if you want to follow them, they have a Twitter, and it is The Alt Left Pod. That's ALT LEFT POD. You can follow them on Twitter. They got great stuff going on there. And yeah, guys, so on that note, we're going to get into today's special episode. I do hope you enjoy, and we'll be back after these messages.
Hello, and welcome to The Alt Left.
Welcome back, everybody, to episode 49 of The Alt Left. We have a special guest today. We're actually here with Progressive Vibe Podcast. It is our buddy Dodrick. He's been on Twitter with us. We've kind of gone back and forth, giving each other hand jobs all over the internet. It's been real nice. Matt is out this week. He's out pillaging and stealing people's homes. And the Reverend Dr. K is always here with us.
Good evening, everyone.
So, Dodrick, you're from the Progressive Talk Podcast. Sorry, Progressive Vibe Podcast.
Yes, that's right. I've been doing it now for about a year and a half, and steady trucking along.
Nice. Yeah, we're just now hitting our 1 year. I think we're 1 year like the end of this month, aren't we, Kay?
The end of this month will be. We'll be at essentially 52 episodes. I noticed, Dodrick, you release every 2 weeks. Is that correct? Because you're at like 45 episodes.
Yeah. I usually try to do it every Sunday, but stuff comes up and stuff. And roughly every 2 weeks.
Life happens, brother.
Yes.
We understand.
Yeah. So, yeah, we wanted to, especially since Matt's out being a pirate, we wanted to bring someone else on who had a progressive vibe with him. And we wanted to talk about what's going on with Biden and the DNC and infrastructure, because between nuggets of Kyle Rittenhouse, which that's a whole nother podcast on that son of a bitch. I love that we're literally watching the Ahmaud Arbery case and the Kyle Rittenhouse case play out simultaneously.
Yes.
And they're going in two very different directions.
Yeah. Well, and it's insane. I mean, let's be fair. Let's be fair. If Kyle Rittenhouse did not have such a light complexion, this trial would be a formality. That dude, I mean, first of all, the cops would have shot him. But assuming he survived the incident, that dude would have already been in prison.
Yes, I agree. That guy's acting job is ridiculous.
Yeah, the judge is insane. Like, there's... It's going to be ridiculous if this doesn't somehow get thrown to mistrial or appealed because it won't get appealed if he gets off, but there's got to be a way to file for mistrial because the judge has been – his bias has been blatant in it. But we'll see what plays out. We'll see what happens the next week or two. But let's talk infrastructure. Biden got a big win, right? He got to dance around in a circle and get his infrastructure bill passed. I'm not a big fan. What about you, Dodrick?
Yeah, honestly, I'm not a big fan of it either. I would like, for the spending bill would have passed. But I guess you got to take what you can get in some regard. But it's not really great at all. I just think that it was something that was going to try to, I guess, silence, the progressive side of the party. But I don't think it did a great job of anything addressing anything when it had to do with, the people's concerns, because, people don't want, just roads and bridges fixed. They want other stuff that impacts their lives.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not all bad. It's not like it's a bill that just talks about kicking puppies all day. Like, there is good stuff. Like, I know it's got over $100 billion for roads and bridges. I know 40 of it was, just for bridge repair, which, again, it's needed. We need this stuff. It's got really good climate change mitigation stuff in it, not as much as we needed, but it's something. There's a lot of that in there. There's a big broadband update, which is good because, let's face it, internet access is becoming a human right at this point. I know it's going to upgrade airports.
Ours here in the United States pales in comparison to some other, first world countries where most people can't hardly get 10 megabytes down or up. And other countries literally have 200, 500 megabytes, equal bandwidth up and down.
Yeah, they're running fiber coast to coast on them.
Yeah, and the only place to get that is in brand new construction with fiber optic here in the U.S.
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
But for me, the big bummer on this one is basically what was taken away, right? Because like it's kind of like, you know, happy birthday, right? And someone comes and brings you a big ass birthday cake, and then they take it away and leave you with a celery stick. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm thankful that we got a celery stick, but I'm not going to say thank you for it because you literally just stole my birthday cake. Like, we were promised that there was going to be some serious social stuff in this one for people who are struggling in this country, you know, and it's like there was supposed to be a $400 billion bump for caregiving for disabled and older Americans. You know, we got people, this is the richest country in the world, supposedly, where we have an elderly population that's living on cat food. And that was just taken out. All the long-term Medicaid services gone. We were supposed to have a major Medicare expansion. We were talking about healthcare as a human right, totally gone. Another big one was going to be wages of home healthcare workers, which, you know, they're all making $10 to $12 an hour right now nationwide. There was going to be a huge bump for that. Nope, that's been taken out. There was going to be billions for workforce development, gone. The VA. You know, again, this is something that you'd think the Republicans would get behind, you know, because they just jerk off about the military all day long. But they took, you know, $18 billion just to get earmarked for the VA, taken right the fuck out. Nothing. And then the only thing it was supposed to pay for was corporate tax cuts. And, you know, Manchin has his little shit fit, and that's gone too.
And to build off your point, when you can really, really see the corruption at its finest in the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. But, you know, the Democrats are in charge of everything right now. You know, they're in control of the House, the Senate, and they got the executive office. And what you're seeing right now is Biden's agenda being, you know, took over by the other Joe. He doesn't want, to me, what it says is, you know, he doesn't want certain provisions to be passed within the bills themselves. So, to me, it's just a bunch of this, I don't know, this show and go of, you know, telling the people this and that, but, you know, going behind their backs and not doing anything at all. Like, and that's pretty much what I feel about. Yeah.
Yeah. And we get this Manchin and Sinema clogging things up. And again, they continue to strip the bill of any provisions that actually help people. And then the progressives get blamed for it.
Yeah, what it tells me is that they don't actually care about the American people at this point. What they care about is business, is big business, because who's really going to benefit from the infrastructure bill, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about construction companies. We're talking about supply line, you know, companies that provide concrete and steel and all of those things. Mm-hmm. We're talking about big business.
Yeah, because small-time contracting firms aren't going to be getting these contracts.
No, of course not. They're going to go to large multinational companies, mm-hmm. and the average construction company will have nothing, and they're not equipped to do the work, obviously. But the point is that it goes towards business. It doesn't go towards people. And because originally the infrastructure portion was a small portion of the American jobs plan, which was a bigger, a $3.5 trillion budget, which was part of a larger budget of like $8 trillion. And every time they keep cutting this down and cutting this down, we keep getting less and less for the American people. And what Chris was saying is like it was supposed to include housing, healthcare, education, and then infrastructure. But we got none of the first three things, and we got tons of the last thing. And it's not going to help the people that it's supposed to help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and beyond that, it's funny that there's, again, every time something has to get stripped, all it is care for the
social
American
program.
People. Yeah, it's always social programs.
I mean, because at the end of the day, I mean, these... A lot of these politicians that are in Congress, I mean, you know, just to be straight up about it, you know, they serve their corporate donors. I mean, you know, they're being compromised, and you know, they can only go as far as their donors let them go. So they can go on television and say the right things, but when it's time to, you know, actually vote on those say bills, then you know, obviously they're going to vote no. I mean, I think healthcare prices went up by 38%. College prices went up by 37%. Child care prices, went up by 32%. So all these things that are in the Build Back Better agenda, it, like you guys said, is being, you know, took away from us. And I don't know what's Biden's end game here. I don't know if he's just going to be like, well, if I try to just, you know, talk to Manchin and talk to Sinema, you know, the only two Democrats seeming to hold up all production, you know, in Congress right now, that, you know, everything will be okay. But it's not, because obviously, again, they're not going to do anything that their corporate donors, you know, will want them to do.
Yeah, and personally, I feel it's almost kind of like Biden's living in a fever dream is what I think that's coming down to. Like, you know, the baby boomers who are just like, yeah. Oh, well, you had a job. Well, why aren't you putting on a suit and walking down the street and handing out your resume to strangers? Like, that's that worked in, you know, back in the fucking 1950s.
Yeah, that's great. Retire so that we can have your job.
Yeah. But like, that's not the world anymore. And I think it's the same kind of thing where Biden's living in this old world of like, look, we're all a bunch of straight white old men. Like, let's all just get along and we can play with both sides because we're all the ruling class. And it doesn't work that way anymore. There's a huge rift ideologically right now where you got Democrats who are the conservative party and you got Republicans, which have turned into the fascist party. And I think they both serve the similar or the same donors, but I mean, we can put our tinfoil hats on and talk about which banking interests we think are controlling the parties, or we can say, no, they're totally different. No matter which way you go, both parties are making their money and getting their votes by basically being the parallel opposite of whatever the other one is, right? That's all it is every vote is, at least I'm not the other fucking side. No one voted for Joe Biden. Everyone voted against Donald Trump.
Well, yeah.
You know, and so I think he's not living in that reality. He still thinks it's the 70s and the 80s where everyone can just play along with Ronald Reagan and it'll be okay. And the Republicans are just, you know, they're just too slow and they're behind the times, but they mean well. And it's like, well, no one on either side. Joe Biden's the only one, I think, who's actually trying to do bipartisanship, you know, and it's a failed strategy. And it's, again, but I don't want to give him too much credit either, because this guy has backed down from every promise he ever made. He went up there and lied to us the entire campaign trail, which, again, I knew he was going to. I'm sure you guys did, too. You know, when he came out and made all these promises, he was a Democrat. I knew he wasn't going to come through on him, but he came out and promised forgiveness for college loans, which is huge. We have an entire generation of Gen Xers and millennials and soon to be Gen Zs who are going to be buried up to their nipples in college debt. And by freeing up that debt, you are literally liberating an entire swath of people. And he backed down. He didn't do his $2,000 checks. He didn't establish a Medicare expansion. But there was plenty of money to bomb Syria in his first 2 months in office.
That's true. I mean, you know, you guys are obviously on the ball with it.
Give me too much credit.
I'm just, but you know, in all honesty, I'm just so sick of the Democrats constantly in their own way. And, you know, I just feel like, you know, they're going to do the blame game. They're going to try to blame progressives. They're going to try to blame Republicans, even though Republicans don't hold any form of power in government right now. You can't point fingers at, you know, anybody but yourselves. I mean, and it's just so crazy that he was, you know, he was just thinking that he was going to be able to say all these things on the campaign trail and not try to do any of it. Like, you know, tuition free college, like expanding Medicaid or Medicare, you know, addressing all these things that, you know, American people want. Because, you know, overwhelmingly what we see after poll after poll, whether you're Democrat or Republican or independent, we all mutually agree on the same fundamental things that, you know, that they're proposing to us. And I just feel like, again, we have a roadblock with corporate politicians, corporate Democrats in this case, and, you know, the media. You know, we got to look at mainstream media and what they're trying to convey. Because, you know, if we look on, you know, CNN or whatever you want to say, you know, it's always the blame game towards, you know, the progressives or the party's going too far left. And it's not, you know, it's just what the people actually want, you know.
Yeah.
And it's so frustrating.
You're absolutely correct.
Well, and again, that's, you know, again, even the Democratic Party doesn't live up to what most people want. And it's becoming clearer and clearer. And I think that at the end of the day, that's all that mattered, was that, you know, the DNC's realized that with Joe, there's no winning right now. Everything's pretty fucked. The Republican Party, because that's the thing, is, again, one of the biggest weaknesses with the Democratic Party is, and again, I'm not a big party guy, and I'm no fan of the Democrats, but like the Republicans, and I'm less of a fan of the Republicans, but they at least stick together. Like, the Republicans will hold together with party unity, and they, to the detriment of anyone, they don't care. They will kill your whole family and climb over your corpse as long as it pisses off the Democratic Party, right?
Yeah.
But the Democrats will happily infight, you know, which is surprising, because you figure, for, you know, that's usually what leftists do. And they're definitely a conservative party, but they infight all the time. And you got this, like, this Manchin shit, this wouldn't fly with the Republican Party.
Like, he would be gone. They would just excise him from the party.
Yeah.
He would have no more support going forward. And the Democrats, as we've said before, refused to do this.
Yeah. And they backed down every time.
You know, it's the same thing with cinema. Like, they just capitulate because it's easier, instead of forcing them into doing what the party wants.
Well, and again, I almost think that is what the party wants, in my opinion. Like, we could have, for instance, this last election, right? We could have had anyone. Because again, running against Donald Trump, there is no bigger gift than running against Donald Trump in 2020.
Oh, God, right? Yeah.
So it's like, we could have had Bernie Sanders. We could have had, again, and Andrew Yang, I think, has shown his colors on being a centrist. But at the time, he was really touting the liberal leftist vibe, and doing stuff like UBI. Hell, even people like Amy Klobuchar, who's a centrist, is still left of Biden. I mean, we could have had someone who had the balls to put through something real. The Democratic Party, if they actually cared about this stuff, right, they could have gone for broke. And they could have put together someone super progressive who would have won no matter what. Because the thing is, the vote blue no matter who crowd actually will vote blue no matter who. Yeah. So you got them, but then you also would have gotten the progressive vote. Like, an actual progressive would have won better than Biden did. You could have tried. You could have had all three branches, and you could have really pushed for something. But they didn't want that. The DNC doesn't actually want progressive measures. The DNC, again, and I've said this,
they
before,
want what they got.
Yeah, they're exactly. Just a GOP with a rainbow flag bumper sticker.
They got exactly what they wanted. They wanted an old white guy that would claim to want to have, you know, bipartisan politics, and would never push anything through or force anyone to push anything through.
And I remember when, you know, Biden was talking about how if you elect me president, nothing fundamentally will change.
And I tweet that on Twitter constantly.
It is,
yeah, that,
it is just,
that has become a mantra.
It's so ironic. And it's just like, you know, these guys, what it really is, it's just they don't want the status quo to change. Everything's working perfectly for them. And, you know, they can give out, you know, crumbs every now and then to say that they did something. And, you know, in real life, it's not shit, you know.
Yeah.
And it's
crumbs,
it's just,
is an extremely astute way of putting that.
Indeed. And I just, you know, when it comes to Manchin and Sinema and things like that, you know, you know, those are the two, you know, corporate Democrats that are, you know, going on record and actually saying stuff out loud. But, you know, there are way more, you know, Democrats within that party that, you know, feel the same way and really, really are like praising Sinema and Manchin for, you know, taking the bullet, if you will. Because they know they can't really go back to their constituents and try to make that same type of, you know, response that Manchin and Sinema made.
Yeah.
But, you know, here we are.
I wish I had a happier response, but no, I completely agree
too.
With you. I think you're on the money, man.
It's important. It honestly is really, really important to just, you know, again, what we guys are doing right now, we're providing the facts. We're just saying what it is. You know, we're more likely to vote Democrat than we are Republican, but we can, you know, exploit them for what they are. And they're just people who are trying to, you know, game the system in a way. I mean, they take all this
line their pockets.
That's it. They take all this corporate PAC money, and you know it suits them just fine. And you know it's Anderson Cooper. I was watching CNN, and Anderson Cooper was talking to Terry McAuliffe, the former governor out of Virginia, and he was just telling, you know, he was asking Terry, you know, the reason you lost, is it because the party is, you know, too far left? And it's just, you know, these these type of statements, it's just they're in their own little corporate bubble. And, you know, Terry McAuliffe is a centrist, you know, our president Joe Biden is a centrist, you know, and
at best,
all these people. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. At best.
I mean, he's a centrist who says you're not black if you don't vote for him. He's a centrist who went after Anita Hill, you know, and he's a centrist with, you know, credible rape applications, allegations, who's a devout Catholic. Like, centrist, I think, is generous.
This is true. I mean, and, you know, great point, you know, and it just time after time we see, you know, mainstream media saying, you know, the most, you know, Terry McAuliffe, again, you know, honestly, one of the most establishment guys out there, you know, and, you know, they just always say that the Democrats lose because they go too far left. And so when progressives, you know, lose, it's progressive faults. When the centrist Democrats lose, it's progressive faults. You know, it's just like this whole thing of not actually seeing that obviously the country has shifted to a progressive mentality. Yeah,
it's definitely honestly a big game of blame whoever is convenient.
Yeah, I mean, hell, look what Andrew Yang's doing. He's come out with his, you know, his Forward Party, where they used a garbage truck logo.
Like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, and he's, you know, and he's like, oh, the problem is everything's too divisive, and it's like he's running on this weird, overly defeatist message of like things are too like he's running on this like
the
feel
temperature
good
of the country.
Yeah, and it's and again, it's kind of like that age old, you know, like just leave me the fuck alone. I'll elect whoever you want. Just let me have my dinner in peace, kind of thing. And that's kind of where we're at. Is like you got the right wingers, right, who are terrified because being straight and white and Christian isn't only paying 99% of the dividends it used to, right? And that terrifies them. And then you've got the other side who actually want change in this country, who are, you know, tired of police executing people in the street. We're tired of having concentration camps at the border. We're tired of having a torture facility in Cuba. We're tired of endless war. And then you've got everyone in the middle saying, you guys are the same. And that's the three cultures in this country right now. And I think the people in the middle, I don't even fault them too much because I think they're just fucking tired of it. We're falling apart. We're going to shit. And I think that was the purpose of what Biden did. Because here, let's be real, this Build Back Better Act that we're being told is coming next for a vote is never going to happen, right? Are we all in agreement on that one?
Oh, we agree. Yeah, totally.
I was going to ask about that. What do you think the chances are? Because I think they're about zero.
Yeah. I think they messed up when we have to give the progressives, you know, some respect. But at the same time, I mean, they caved, you know, they gave up their leverage and, you know, and that's the name of the game.
No, they didn't. I was actually surprised because they didn't, because they still didn't vote for it. It was actually because a handful of Republicans.
There were six of progressive Democrats that did not vote for it. And there were 13 Republicans that did. As far as I remember, let me verify that.
Yeah, I remember the numbers, but yeah, it was the squad actually stuck to their guns, which again surprised me. I didn't think they would.
Right. What I mean by that is like we passed the infrastructure bill, the bipartisan infrastructure bill. You know, we were trying to pass both of those bills together.
Yeah.
And now that leverage is gone now because you know that bipartisan, you know, take it for what it's worth, that bipartisan infrastructure bill, that's going to be it. That's going to be it. And I do think if, you know, the progressives would have just honestly stuck to their guns and just stayed firm with, no, we're not passing it until we pass both bills.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, but that is what happened. Is AOC, Bernie, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar.
Here's the breakdown. So the House Democrats mm-hmm. who broke from the party and did not vote for the bill was Jamal Bowman, mm-hmm. Cori Bush, AOC, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, and Rashid Tlaib. So those, so Bernie Sanders,
he's a senator. That's I missed.
Yeah, is he doesn't get to vote on that?
Yeah, he doesn't get to vote on that.
And then there were 13 Republicans who voted for it. So that's how it passed.
Yeah, it was the, okay. was they basically is Pelosi was they actually stuck to their guns. The problem is, and you're not far off though, because they still fucked up. Is Pelosi cared more about getting this passed just so they could take a victory lap? Than what people actually want and need. And so she ended up, I don't know what she promised, but she ended up getting 13 Republicans. It was 13, right, Kay?
Yeah, 13 Republicans. Yeah.
She got 13 Republicans to vote rather than standing up to Manchin and getting this through with the squad. And and actually getting leverage. And you're right, they lost that leverage.
Lost it bad.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Dodrick, you're spot on. Like, that was the one thing they had.
And, I'm just so tired of the Democrats. I just had it, man. It's just like, you know, they just go on TV and they just go and they say all these things that, you know, the people want to hear and they just, you know, backtrack. And, you know, the country's just sick of it. You know, people are sick of it and they want to know why. Democrats are hated worse than Republicans. And like you guys said earlier, you know, at least the Republicans stick together as a party. You know, the Democrats want to say all this stuff that they know that they're not going to, you know, walk the walk on, you know, and it's just like the voting rights situation. I mean, voting rights is under attack in this country. And, you know, the Democrats are just like twiddling their thumbs. Just, it's just, I'm just sick of the Democrats, guys. That's kind of
where I'm at. Agreed. Because they seem to do nothing, even if they promise to do something.
Yeah.
And the only people who really lose are the American people.
I mean, and something else to consider here. Like, again, Nancy Pelosi was happier to get in bed with over a dozen Republicans than she was six progressives, which, I mean, again, the Democratic Party and liberals in general hate socialists more than they hate fascists.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what this came down to.
That is the truth.
It is. It is. I mean, the country's center right. Let's just be real when it comes to.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely center right. And so whatever the Democrats need to do, or the corporate Democrats, rather, need to do to pull that balance of power back to the center, they're going to do so, even if it means striking down popular, you know, legislation from their own party.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree because let me tell you, man, yeah, you're right. It's a center-right theocracy. You know, this country is about how awesome Jesus is and about how awesome slavery is and how sad it is that anyone has to do anything for anyone else. That is the mantra of this country. I mean, we had the Democrats falling all over themselves last election cycle to come out and say, no, we're capitalists. We're capitalists. I swear. like Jesus fucking Christ, man. We literally we know you're capitalists, but like you had to come out here and basically beg us to take you on your word that you're greedy capitalists so that God forbid the right wing, you know, call you a name.
And it's, I mean, super great point. It's like what Manchin was talking about not too long ago when he said that, you know, we don't want to become a entitled-based society, whatever the hell that means, coming from the guy who, you know, lives on a yacht. You know, like, that is his house. His house is a yacht.
Yeah, it must be nice.
It must be, you know. You know, I wish we were all able to, you know, afford yachts and crap like that, but
party with Mitch McConnell on a yacht,
big time.
So what's your take on where this is going? Because, you know, again, I've got my view, but like, okay, so we're all in agreement that this was basically just to give Biden a victory lap. This accomplishes nothing for the people. And we all agree that the Build Back Better Act that'll actually do something for anyone isn't going to happen. So let's go down the road. Let's start with you, Dodger. What's your takeaway? What is your put on your fortune teller glasses and tell me where you think this goes?
You know, I think that it's going to go nowhere. Just straight up with you, I think that now since they have passed it's going to pass this bipartisan infrastructure bill, you know, that expands broadband and stuff like that, as you guys, elaborated on. You know, I just think that that's what it's going to be. It's just going to be these crumbs that we're going to be gave, and that's going to be it until the next election cycle. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But, I mean, midterms is right around the corner. You know, 2022 is right around the corner, and the Democrats have not delivered on anything. No $15 minimum wage.
Now is too low.
Exactly.
We've been fighting for $15 minimum wage for over 15 years.
Yeah, $15 minimum wage was too low 15 years ago.
Agreed.
$27 is where we should be if we adjust for inflation and production, you know, but nobody wants to hear those numbers. Everybody's stuck on this $15.
Yeah, which again, of course, we always see like, you know, we can't. That'll raise the cost of a cheeseburger and it can't happen.
No,
it's like now that people don't want to put up with their shitty jobs anymore, suddenly McDonald's is paying $18 an hour.
Right. All of a sudden now these corporations.
Every economist that knows anything about how business works tells you that no, $15 an hour for your employees does not equal more expensive hamburgers.
Yeah.
This is true.
And that's for damn sure. So you obviously you think this goes nowhere. What do you think that means in terms of in terms of 3 years from now?
I think that, you know, well, the Democrats hold slim majority, you know, in the House and in the Senate. And, you know, with gerrymandering and things like that of that nature going on throughout the country, as I just, you know, said earlier about, you know, voting rights being, you know, under assault, you know.
Yeah, especially like Georgia and Texas.
Exactly. And, you know, to me, it's going to have a impact on, you know, representation, you know, for communities, specifically communities of color, and it's going to be hard for people to vote, you know, and, you know, things like this that the Democrats are doing, it's not going to help their case because, again, people already are hesitant to vote anyway because they don't trust anyone. And, you know, that's kind of just where I'm at with it. I don't think that, you know, a lot of people don't want to get involved in the voting process because you always have to have this whole, you know, picking from the lesser of two evils. You know, you can't never get the candidate that you want. It's always either the left, you know, corrupt person or the right corrupt person. And I'm scared that the Republicans are going to end up regaining power. I just think that, you know, it seems like the Republicans are going to regain leverage. I mean, they've been striking down any type of legislation that the Democrats have proposed. I mean, Mitch McConnell has said boldly that, you know, we're not going to pass anything that the Democrats want. And, you know, he doesn't need to because, again, the Democrats are in their own way. You know, it's no excuses this time. And
yeah, all they've got to do is hold the line.
That's it. And I think, you know, look how fast this year went out, you know, and they've virtually done nothing.
Yeah. Do you remember when Joe Biden's first ad came out, the very first one where he announced his presidency campaign? And, you know, he posts Kenosha? What was the rally with the tiki torches where they couldn't find the clitoris?
Charlottesville.
Yeah, Charlottesville. You know, and he posted, you know, video from that and saying white nationalism is on the rise and we got to put a stop to this. He was like, holy shit, he's actually going to do something about the Klan. He's going to do something about the Proud Boys. He's going to do anything at all. You know, nope, nothing, not a damn thing.
There was a whole lot of tough talk, especially during those debates, you know, he was like, pull in, I'm on it. These are the things that we're going to do. And there's been a whole lot of backpedaling this entire time. Whole lot of covering my ass because, no, we don't really actually want to do those things.
Yeah. And yeah. And again, it's like these are things that shouldn't be hard, right? These are easy stuff. Like, I'm sorry, getting rid of the Klan, getting rid of the Proud Boys. Like, these are domestic terror organizations. Like, it should be real fucking easy. I mean, if we got the FBI with COINTELPRO who can take down the Black Panthers for doing nothing wrong, you know, if we can have Edward Snowden talking about how they are literally infiltrating the phone calls of any leftist organizations, like, how have we not put an end to this right now? And it's like, if Joe Biden's going to come out and say he's going to start fighting white nationalism, we've got the Oath Keepers, man. Like, yeah. These groups are out and proud. Donald Trump did the worst thing he did. I don't want to hear anything about the border. I don't want to hear anything about, you know, him lying and stealing money. The worst thing he did was he made these motherfuckers not afraid to come out anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and what's Biden done about it? Again, we have literal epidemics of police massacring people in the streets. We have video footage of the NYPD running people over in the streets with their cars when they're protesting an innocent, unarmed man getting murdered. And that's who we side with. And he stands up there with cops and talks about how he supports them. You know, are we having any kind of police reform in this country? Any kind of nationwide body cam mandates? Anything like that? Nope, nope. Nothing at all. Do we have anything about the rise of white nationalism? Nothing at all. Do we have anything about ending our foreign policy of imperialism? Nothing. Anything about actually establishing a living wage and a standard of living for Americans? Nothing. Anything about the massive debt relief? Nothing. I mean, there's just healthcare, housing. I mean, just pick a thing that Americans are suffering from, and he hasn't given a fuck about any of them. All he cared about was taking a victory lap about rebuilding bridges.
Yeah, I mean, because when you think about it, it's just, I'm sorry, when you think about it, it's just, you know, once you start actually giving the, you know, American people what they want, then it's going to open up the floodgates. And, you know, they don't want to do that. They don't want to lower the age of, you know, Medicare access down, because, you know, if they lower it down to, you know, 55, then they're going to have to go to 50, and then they're going to have to go to 45, and then you have to go to 35, and so forth and so forth. And even though that's the right thing to do, you know, even though wiping out student loan debt is the right thing to do, again, it's going to show that the government can work for them. And, you know, they don't want it to go as far as we want it to go, you know, because, again, they are serving people behind the scenes that are telling them not to do these things.
Yep. I mean, hey, remember, Joe Biden is the one who wrote the bill to make it illegal for you to declare bankruptcy on your student loans.
That's such a great point. That's the least he can do. You know, right your wrongs.
At least come out and say it was wrong. I mean, it was like pulling teeth getting him to admit it was fucked up to throw Anita Hill under the bus.
Yeah.
So true. We couldn't get this guy to walk back a crime bill. You know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. So, I think I would agree. I think it's actually, I think something worse is brewing at this point, because I think you're right. You know, first of all, I think you're totally right, Dodrick. I think the DNC is going to get their asses handed to them, executive and legislative, in 2024. Yeah. And I think you're going to see a huge resurgence of Republicans.
I think during the midterms, we're going to see quite a few seats change hands.
Oh yeah,
to the Republican side, because they talk a really good game, and people are feeling less and less thrilled with the Democrats that are in power, and so we're going to see a whole bunch of seats that change hands, and the power that the Democrats have right now in terms of being in charge of, you know, the two branches is going to be wasted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. And, you know, and to build off your point, you know, this is why I feel like we have to eventually get money out of politics, right? Because if I'm not mistaken, 1978, the Supreme Court ended up legalizing corporate donations given to politicians. And ever since then,
that led straight to Citizens United.
Exactly.
What they really did is they made private businesses to be considered people.
Well, that was in 78. That was Citizens United.
Yes, but that's what I'm saying is you know, it all leads to the same thing. Is yeah. When you consider a private business, a corporation, to be a person, that gives them all kinds of rights. Private businesses are not people. I don't care. Yeah. You know, I'm sorry, they're just not.
Now this is America. Yeah. Walmart and Amazon matter far more than people.
Seriously, where we put they absolutely before people. Yeah,
always. That is as American as apple pie and college loan debt.
Yeah.
And no health care. Because remember, we're going to have fancy, new, beautiful bridges that you can die under because you're poor.
Oh,
without
God.
Getting any kind of medical care. So yeah, I think at this point, you know, yeah, that's what we got to say about that is this is, you know, everyone who wants to talk about whether or not this was good or bad, I think those are the points we have to look at. And that's why I don't go with the Democrat line of you need to shut up and just be happy we got something, because I actually believe the something is detrimental. I think the something that we got has set a precedent that it's okay to completely negate human needs. It's okay to take away our health care, to leave us dying and starving in debt, not give us any kind of standard of living, not give us any kind of housing or health care whatsoever, is to take away everything we need to thrive and survive, as long as it gives a politician a win and it makes bankers rich.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yep. And, you know, at this point, the Democrats' only hope is that, you know, Donald Trump runs again in 2024.
That's the only way they're going to win.
That's it. When it comes to actually bringing out your base, they've done nothing. They've done nothing. And so the only thing I believe that will get the Democrats out in whole to vote is if Donald Trump runs again. And it's so sad that, you know, the Democrats, you know, cannot deliver on anything. It's just honestly, it's just amazing. You know, they want to silence the part of their party. Let's be real, who are most popular, you know, and again, it's just because, you know, they just are taking corporate PAC money from, you know, their donors, and it's a conflict of interest. That's pretty much what it is. It's conflict of interest.
Yeah. They've literally got Jordan on the court and they will not give him the ball. It's weird. They've got, you know, Bernie, AOC, Talita Rashad, Ilhan Omar. My God, I've got such a crush on Ilhan Omar. She's amazing. Like every tweet she makes just blows me away. Like, holy shit, you're a Democrat?
Yeah.
She's amazing. And all they want to do is shut her up.
Yeah, all they want to do is hamstring the people that actually have the country's best interests in mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's really fucked up when you got AOC crying in a hallway and Marjorie Taylor Greene smiling all the time.
Oh my God.
That's when you know shit's not right.
Yeah.
So, I think so that's going to do it for us here. First of all, Dodrick, thank you for coming on, man. We were down a man. This was great having you here.
Yeah, we really appreciate you being here for us.
I know we had some audio issues, but I hope you might want to pop by some other time. And
of course, guys, maybe I'll be able to like actually get my words together. I feel like I totally botched tonight.
Oh, no, you're fine, man.
Oh, dude, you should hear how we sound half the time. The only reason we sound decent is because Kay's editing. Trust me.
I'll make you sound good. Don't worry.
But yeah, no, please. We'd love to. You know, we love collaborating, especially with people who know what's up. So honestly, anytime you want to pop by, let me know. We'd love to have you on again.
For sure, guys. Hey, thanks for giving me the opportunity to even just, you know, come on. And, you know, I read you guys this Twitter thread all the time and, you know, keep doing what you're doing though. I mean, it's going to take this, it's going to take mobilizing, it's going to take organizing, and that's what we have to build on in the future. I mean, I guess that's the only thing we can actually hang our hat on, because we can't, you know, rely on the Democrats right now to do anything for us. So.
Yeah, it was funny when Kay was like, you know, so who's coming on? How'd you find Dodrick? I was like, oh, man, because like Matt and I are the ones through the Twitter. I was like, man, we are dancing in all the same circles on Twitter. I had to message him.
Seriously.
We just keep popping the same comments. But speaking of which, let's get people interested in what you got going on. Because again, your Twitter's fire. I listened to a couple of your podcasts; they're great. There, if you like us, you are definitely you're definitely going to like the Progressive Vibe podcast. So I know on Twitter you're at DODI_vibe, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And then where can they find your podcast? And do you have a Facebook? Do you have an Instagram? What do you got going on?
Yeah. Hey, thanks for the show, guys. Yeah. So you can get my podcast on anywhere you can get your podcast. That's The Progressive Vibe. I'm usually on Twitter more so than Facebook, but yeah, you can follow me on Facebook, Dodrick King, DODRICKKING. And yeah, just that's it. Anywhere you can get on social media, that's where you can follow me at.
Awesome. Yeah. So yeah, it's the Progressive Vibe podcast on online where you can listen to any podcast, and it's at @Dodie_vibe on Twitter. And he's got all his links on there too. So go ahead and check him out. Give him some love. Scan him for 5 seconds. You're going to see that he's basically, if you like us, you're going to like him.
Thanks, guys. Y'all going to have to come on my show.
Hey,
absolutely.
If you want to taint yourself with my communist vibes, all right, do it.
I'm all for it.
Awesome, man. But yeah, we'll put all your everyone who's listening, we're gonna have all of Dodrick's links on our podcast announcement. So go catch us on Instagram and Twitter, and you'll see it on there when this drops. So thank you again, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for coming by, and yeah, I hope you come by again.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So that's it for us, guys. Thank you so much. We will be here every week. Again, we'll see you next Monday. Hopefully, we'll have some more progress on these court trials, and we can talk about that. If not, I'm sure we'll find some leftist nuggets to douse you with. And until then, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and remember, the revolution is you.
Hey guys, welcome back from the break. That's going to wrap up today's show. I hope everyone enjoyed today's special episode. I do want to thank the Alt Left Podcast for having me on as a guest to share my perspective on their show. Again, go follow them on Twitter, the Alt Left Pod. You can reach them there. They do awesome work over there, and hopefully we will collab in the near future. I do want to apologize again to the audience for my spotty audio. You know, just can't have it perfect all the time, I guess, you know. But I do apologize for that. Hopefully it'll be a different story next time we end up collabing together. I do want to say to the audience out there that regardless, guys, of your perspective, regardless of what party affiliation you're in, or even if you're not in one, I do think that we all have a collective common good that we are in agreeance on, and that's just providing the basic necessities that people need in their lives, and that should be just a given, right? And unfortunately, it has resolved in a class war in some regard, because it just seems like if you're not wealthy, you're not allowed or not able to get the type of things that you need to function in your life, regardless if that is healthcare, if that is furthering your education, if that is addressing the climate change issue, if that is addressing how horrible and stagnant the minimum wage has been, and so forth. Paid family leave, you know, things like this, things that people overwhelmingly agree on, regardless what party you're in. we should not allow ourselves to get caught up in the culture war BS. Because newsflash, that's what the status quo wants. The status quo wants you to get in the issues that are not substantive, and they want you to think that things can't change, things can't happen. This is just the best it's going to get. And we can allow ourselves to feed into that. And I do think that we are, the country is realizing that slowly but surely, and it's a work in progress. True democracy, true progression doesn't happen overnight. But if we continue to build and mobilize and organize, and continue to speak truth of power, which this show tries to do, and which I'm sure that the Alt Left podcast does as well, and other podcasts, I think that we will transform this country, and I do think that we will get the necessities that people want, and that keeps me hopeful. And you know, also what keeps me hopeful is the listeners of this show, because as I say always, it's not just Democrats that listen to the show, it's a nice amount of conservatives that listen to the show either, that listen to the show too. And they don't agree with what I have to say all the time, but that's perfectly okay. We can, you know, agree to disagree, but I feel like we can't disagree on what's right and what's wrong. Because what's right is what's right, and what's wrong is what's wrong. And again, we have to just say to ourselves, what's going to be the best for me and my family and my friends? And we have to also think about thy neighbor. This is a team effort. This is a democracy. You know, we live in the U.S. and people have to vote on issues. This is not a, well, I don't want to go too far and say this is not an authoritarian country, but hold. But no, guys, I do think, though, if we can have people, if we can actually have bills and stuff that people, it, and you know, the data shows that people want, and we can actually deliver on that, regardless of if it's the Democratic Party that delivers on that, or the Republican Party that delivers on that, or Independent Party. It doesn't matter, honestly. Long as the needs of the people are being met, that's my number one issue. That's what matters to me. But guys, again, I hope you did enjoy the show today. We will have a new show next week for you guys. But until then, I love everyone. Stay positive. Stay progressive. We'll catch you in the next one. Peace.